Nick Nurse, as we mentioned, is head coach of the Toronto Raptors. He's also head coach of Team Canada. The invitation list for Team Canada was announced yesterday. The FIBA Men's World Cup, man, is just around the corner in China. Nick, thank you so much for joining Richard Deitch and myself. I will ask you the obligatory life after Kawhi question, then I swear to God we're going to move on. You held a news conference at Summer League, and you basically said he's not here, time to move on. Has moving on from Kawhi been, at least in the initial stages, as easy for you as you thought it would be, more difficult, or you just haven't given it much thought? It's just reality, and boom, here we are.
I mean, listen, I ain't a whole lot we can do about it now that it's over. You know, we got guys here, and nothing changes much for us as we're into development. We had some good look at some guys at Summer League. We got a bunch of guys getting together here for our regular summer workouts, et cetera. So we just move on and progress towards training camp. You know, that's haven't given it that much thought is, was that B? I'll pick answer B. I haven't given it that much thought.
Perfect. Well, that's fine. You didn't split the middle. I like it. Go ahead, Richard.
Nick, I know Jeff made a promise to you that there'd be no more Kawhi questions, but I'm,
here we go.
I didn't promise that. So I'm asking one more, Nick, and then I promise we'll move on to Canada basketball. And that is, I want to ask you a question that on its face seems rather dumb, but it's not. And
good,
I think
selling
you're,
job.
Exactly.
Great selling,
I know.
Job.
This is why I'm not a head coach like Nick Nurse. But the answer, I think, will be really interesting. And that is, Nick, how much harder is your job without Kawhi Leonard?
Well, I don't know yet. You know, I don't know yet. I think that, listen, I approach from this standpoint that we got some guys that will need to expand roles that they wouldn't have had to, right? But I think we got guys that are capable of that. I preach ball movement. I think the assisted basket is still our goal. It's really the only thing that stands up in the playoffs. I think aggressive defense, I think playing a lot of people throughout the regular season, changing defenses, being really good late game, none of that stuff changes for me. I think that's what we want our team to be and where we go from there. Now, listen, you can say he made a lot of big buckets and he was clutch in the late game and all that kind of stuff, but we've got to have to develop that from somewhere else.
All right, I will move on now with,
thank
your,
you, Nick,
with your permission.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no problem.
We mentioned the Canadian roster. The invitations have been extended. The list of invited players has been extended. You look at this roster, and it's obvious, Paul Jones made this point, Nick, that there is a chance that there will be some NBA players or NBA-caliber players cut. My question to you is, how are you going to go about, in the allotted time that you have, determining your final roster? How much of it will be based on what you see in front of you, or video work, or scouting reports, or things of that nature?
I think that a little bit of everything, to be honest with you. I think that we first of all gotta, you know, get these guys here, right? That they commit, they stay committed, they show up for camp. You know, that's going to be our first starting point. There'll certainly be some guys that we know are probably the veteran Canadian national team players and performed well, that will, you know, they're like returning veteran players on a team. You're not necessarily evaluating them day one the same as you are the younger guys or the new guys or guys you don't know as well, just like we would for the Raptors, you know. And then we just go from there. I think my goal is to get some experience on this team, you know, guys that have played FIBA basketball, get some versatility on this team, make sure that we've got the roster that can guard a big team and go small and guard a smaller, quicker team, so that our team's versatile depending on who we're playing and what we can do. And I always think that having a blend of veterans with a blend of enthusiastic youth over a five or six week program that we have will be important.
Nick, of the 29 invitees, 17 are affiliated with NBA teams, 9 play in Europe, 2 are part of the NCAA programs, and 1 is a G League roster player. Do you have to fight against the sort of inherent bias of favoring NBA players because you have seen NBA players and because obviously the NBA is the highest league in the world?
I don't know if we have to do that, right? I think that, talking about whichever league a guy plays in, I think in constructing any team, like, and this one's unique, right, because it's a national team, I think we need experience. I think we need fit. I think we've got to give a keen eye towards guys that are playing in FIBA, you know, that play Euro League basketball or high levels of overseas basketball, because this is that's what they're playing in, FIBA. So their game will translate really quickly. I just think we've got to be objective and try, our very hardest to put the very best team together. And it may not end up being all NBA guys or whatever. I would imagine there's a couple guys playing in Europe that will be on this team for sure, because they're experienced FIBA players and they're good. They're good to boot, you know.
Nick, philosophically, have you thought about like some kind of roster composition in terms of how many guards, how many wings, how many bigs in an ideal world you'd like to have? Or should we think for the composition of this team, maybe a little more positionless?
Yeah. I mean, I think anytime I kind of put a team together, whether it was when I was coaching in the D League or with the Raptors or just even going into like a game, a regular season game, you kind of always start with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and start filling in. Right. But I think this is a team where there's guys that could play, almost up or down two positions sometimes, I don't know what an example is, but there's probably a guy that has played some point guard on his current team, but he's long and big enough to bump all the way up to the three spot for us. So I guess that makes it kind of positionless. And then there'll be, some bigs, guys that are pick and pop bigs that can be playing the five and the four. And then maybe in certain scenarios, if we go to a matchup or a zone defense or something like that, we could play him all the way down to the three as well, at the top of the zone. So, I think that's what we have, and that's what we want anyway, is to be able to move guys up and down the positions. Because again, we just don't know what the right fits are. And we won't know that until we get them together and try it. You guys know me, I was trying combinations all the way through the Raptor season just to see if there was something else that may work. And one of the combinations we used in the Philly series, we hardly used all year, but we used it a little bit, the Ibaka Gasol. We decided to go big, really big, and we had hardly used that all year. And then next series we were down, with Norman Powell at the three and Fred and Kyle, and we went small because it just, that's who we were playing and that's what it called for. So similar things. I gotta be versatile and hope we put a team together that's versatile and can handle playing big and small.
Nick, you've had a lot of experience coaching internationally. Can you give us, in general terms, the difference between the FIBA game, the international game, and the NBA? And as a sort of a second question to that, the NBA has changed in probably the past 8 years or so. Has FIBA undergone any type of similar change?
Yeah, the first part of your question, I always say that the FIBA games seem a little bit more physical, right? I think they're less clearly defined on what they're supposed to call, and games can kind of lean one way very physically in certain times. Things like holding and screen setting and things like that seem to be allowed a lot more in FIBA. There's certainly fewer possessions, they're longer possessions, which makes it, turn into less possessions. So, taking care of the ball is important. It always seems like the international teams are really good at making you pay for a mistake. If you cough up a turnover, you're usually paying for it with 3 points at the other end. And then to answer the last part of your question, I think all around the world, the everybody, all the leagues have, turn to shooting a higher volume of three-pointers, and FIBA is no different.
Nick, two exhibition games against Nigeria in Canada, one in Toronto, one in Winnipeg. Then you guys are off to Australia for a 5-game exhibition. Knowing, not at this point, obviously, you don't know who the final roster will be, but would it be your intention to maybe play, as you said, as many different combinations in those exhibition games to try to, by September 1st, have whatever your final rotation would be?
Yep, I think that's a good way to put it. I think a lot of things go into it. You know, my goal in the end is to have our guys in like peak mental and physical shape as we head to China. So that, you know, so there could be guys in and out that are getting in shape, guys that maybe you're nursing something, you know, here or there, or get dinged up in one of the games, and you know, I think there'll be a lot of shifting of who's actually playing and who's starting and who's in the rotation on certain nights and who isn't, but getting looks at everybody, right? So we can determine our roster, first of all, and getting looks at combinations will be the priority. And then we closely behind that, we gotta find out who we are and what kind of style of play and what our identity is going to be and all those kind of things. I mean, I have an idea what I'd like it to be, but sometimes you got to shift the identity of your team once you get to know them a little better.
How important is it to you, Nick, that when you do get to China, you've got a clear-cut starting five? Or is that, again, going to depend on matchups? I mean, there's certainly tournament basketball is like tournament soccer. There's an art to coaching it. But
Yeah. I think you guys know me well enough. I don't really get hung up on that.
Yeah.
Right? I tried to change the starting lineups all during the year for the Raptors for the most part. We didn't settle into one until really late. And then that ended up kind of almost changing. Heck, even in the NBA Finals, we were starting a different lineup at the start of the game and a different one at halftime, you know, the second half start. So, I think that's kind of put way too much emphasis on like who's starting and who isn't. I'm more into combinations and how that plays out over the course of a, like you said, a tournament, you know, like in the NBA, it's a series. How does it play out over the course of a series? How does it play out late game? You know, finding that combination of guys that can hold their own defensively, but still score buckets late game is another, you know, thing that's hot. Nick, high on our priority list of getting that figured out. Yep.
Nick, it strikes me that it's a real, it's a little bit of a challenge, or probably a lot of a challenge, to scout these teams. Australia, Lithuania, and Senegal are your first couple of opponents. You know, there's film and footage and video, but the interesting thing about the international game is all this can change, like night to night almost. So do you send advanced scouts to see these teams in exos? Do you rely on video? Do you talk to players in the league who've played against the players on those teams? Or my guess is all of the above. Answer D.
Yeah. we'll send advanced scouts out. You know, the teams are doing the same thing we are, playing in friendlies or tournaments leading up to the World Cup. So we have an advanced scout that'll be out getting that stuff. The thing about Australia is we're playing them twice, you know. So we're going to see them, you know, before we play them for real. We're playing them twice in friendlies. I've coached against Lithuania maybe for half a dozen times in my past FIBA gigs, and I've coached against Australia maybe four times as well. So I got an idea. I know those teams are historically physical and big, right? So we're going to have to get our physical hats on real early in this training camp, because we know that's what we're going to see with the style of play from those two teams. And then you get to the tournament, you get a chance to watch them live before you play them. I mean, we play Australia first, so we'll get to see Lithuania play live. And you're right, though, it changes. You know, there'll be guys playing in their friendlies in August that, you know, won't be playing in China. So you got to constantly be, you know, try to keep your finger on the pulse of who's actually going to be out there so you can get a good read on their personnel.
Does it help that you have some young guys on the team, or a lot of young guys in the team, actually, who've played in Canada basketball's program? Guys like RJ, they've played internationally. There's a sense of awareness. There's a sense of what they – there's a sense of team or a sense of camaraderie there in some ways. Does that make your job easier, Nick?
I think it's huge. And I don't know if you guys saw this game the other night in Vegas. It was actually the Raptors versus the Knicks. And I think there was five Canadian guys in the game playing. and there was a whole row of Canadian national team players sitting along the courtside seats there, all sitting together, and the spirit of watching them cheer for their Canadian teammates, you know, out on the floor, it was really neat to see. And I think that's a huge part of this, right? This is, like I said, I'm super honored to be in charge of this team. I mean, I've been living here 6 years now, and both my sons are born here, and I'm in this thing with some pride as well. But to see these guys know in their hearts how important this is to them, I mean, that's a huge part of what we're doing here, man. We gotta lay it on the line here for Canada and give our very best effort. I think that'll take us a long way.
Nick, we appreciate you joining us today. Thanks so much. Best of luck and safe travels, my friend.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Talk to you soon.